Mesechs Ovis Perek Dalad Mishnah Chesn Til Perek Dalad Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hu Yomer, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yosi, would say an additional lesson to that which he had taught in the previous Mishnah. And just like in the previous Mishnah, his focus, his discussion, was about a dayan, somebody who is a judge on a beis din. So too, that will be the subject matter of this Mishnah. Alti don yechidi. Never judge a case alone. Although in general a beis din needs to consist of at least three dayanim, the halacha is that a yochid mumche, an individual who is an expert judge, he's reached a certain level that he's gained the title of being an expert judge. The halacha is that certain cases he is able to judge alone, and he doesn't require a beis din of at least three. Rather, he's able to judge certain cases alone by himself from whatever decision he comes to. That will be the ruling for that case. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yosi, you should never judge a case alone, even if you are a mumche, even if you are an expert judge. She'ein don yechidi ala echad, because nobody is really fit to judge anything alone except for Hashem. Hashem knows the absolute truth and he has no bias. So of course, he would judge a case by himself, but every human being does have the limits of bias, and he doesn't know the absolute truth, and so he should not rely on his own decision without joining together with him another two judges. Now what happens if he does join together another two judges? They've now got a beis din of three, and of course, like every beis din, the final ruling for halacha is going to be based on the majority vote of the judges who are sitting on that beis din. So what happens if the two other judges who now joined him, they come to a final decision that the ruling should be like this, and he argues against them and think that the ruling should be otherwise? Now, according to the strict letter of the law, he was able to judge this entire case by himself. He didn't even need the other two people. He only joined them to his beis din because it's better to judge the case like that. It's considered preferable. But according to the strict letter of the law, he doesn't even need the other two people. But the Mishnah says, V'al toimar, you shouldn't say to the other two people, Kablu daiti, accept my opinion, because anyway, I don't even need you. Because, of course, then it defeats the entire purpose of him adding the other two people. Sheheira Shoin, they are now allowed to force him to accept their opinion, because we always go according to the majority. But V'loy Atta, you have not got the ability to force them to accept your opinion, since over here you are the minority, and so the final decision, the final ruling, will be according to the majority, which is what the other two judges decided in this case. Mr. Tetz, Rabbi Yonason says, Kol mekayimus ha-Torah me'oni, anybody who fulfills the Torah in a state of poverty, despite not having a lot of possessions, not a lot of money to support himself, nevertheless, he still keeps all of the Torah and learns Torah to his best ability. Somebody like that, the Mishnah promises, Sofer lekayimu me'osher, he'll end up fulfilling and keeping the Torah and learning the Torah out of wealth. Anybody who goes against the Torah and he wastes his time and he pursues other things other than Torah as a result of his wealth, or not necessarily as a result of his wealth, but whilst he is wealthy, he will end up not fulfilling the Torah as he should do as a result of poverty. Hashem will punish him by saying, there's no reason why I should give you wealth and money and possessions if it's only going to cause you to drift further away from the Torah. I'm going to give that wealth and money to somebody who does serve me and learn the Torah as he should, so that it will be easier and he'll be able to indeed continue learning and keeping the Torah to the full capacity that he is capable of keeping. Now, the Mishnah is not just saying that this might happen. The Mishnah seems to be promising that anybody who keeps the Torah, even when he is poor, he'll end up being wealthy, so that it will be easier for him to keep the Torah. And anybody who doesn't keep the Torah when he is wealthy, he'll end up being poor. But we don't really see this happening in reality. So one explanation is given by the Sfas Emes, and he explains, based on the Mishnah at the beginning of this perek, that who is considered wealthy? One who is someach b'chelka, he's pleased with that which he has. And according to that, the promise of the Mishnah is that somebody who keeps the Torah, despite his poverty and his difficulties, he is promised by the Mishnah that he'll end up not seeing it as a huge difficulty and a massive challenge to keep the Torah in his situation. It could be at the beginning. It is a challenge, and in reality, it's a real challenge to keep the Torah and to learn as much as he should when he can only just about put food on the table. The bracha and the promise of the Mishnah is that it will come to a state where it could be, in terms of how much wealth he has, or remain the same. But he won't see himself as lacking anything. And the same is for the flip side. If somebody is wealthy and he doesn't keep the Torah, then Hashem will cause him to not be pleased with that which he has, and he himself will feel like he is lacking so long as he is not keeping the Torah. The Maharil Diskin actually has an interesting explanation of this Mishnah, and he explains that we're not talking about physical material wealth. Rather, we're talking about wealth in Torah terms. And so poverty over here refers to somebody who doesn't necessarily have huge talents which lend to it being easier to learn. He's not a genius, he's not somebody with an unbelievable memory for learning. In terms of his natural talents, he's quite poor. And yet the Mishnah promises one who keeps the Torah, one who learns Torah, even when it is difficult for him, and he puts in all of the effort which is required, and all of the time, and all that he pursues is just Torah. One who does that promises the Mishnah he will end up being able to learn with much more ease. He will become wealthy in his ability to learn Torah. Like the Pasuk in Tehillim says that Torah is machkimas pesi. It makes a fool intelligent. One of the powers of Torah, if somebody really plugs himself in to learning Torah, their intelligence level, their ability, their ease, their talents in terms of learning Torah will become easier and more accessible. And that's really a true inspiration, and according to the Maharil Diskin, this is exactly what the Mishnah is telling us. Mishnah Yudr, Meir says, Isek, one should minimize his business dealings and everything else that he needs to do in order to make sure that he has enough wealth, enough possessions, that he's making a living. V'asoik b'Torah, and he should involve himself in Torah learning as much as he can. That should be the main priority and the main occupation of his day. Secondly, v'avishfal ruach b'fnei kol odom, one should be of low spirit, meaning he should be humble in front of every person. And it's quite interesting, earlier on in this perek, Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne told us, ma'oid ma'oid havishfal ruach, one should be very, very humble. Is Rabbi Meir just repeating that which Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne told us on a slightly less extreme level? He's not saying be very, very humble, but he's saying be humble. That would be a bit strange for him just to repeat it on a less extreme level. But the truth is, I think it's quite clear that they're saying different messages. The reason that Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne gave for why one should be humble is because shetikvas enosh rima. Ultimately, everybody will end up in a grave, his flesh will be eaten by worms. A man is totally mortal and temporary. And the main message being given over there is that compared to Hashem, one has absolutely no significance. He's the tiniest, insignificant, limited being. Whereas Hashem is totally unlimited and has no bounds whatsoever. So compared to Hashem, one needs to be totally, totally humble and realize that he is a nothing compared to Hashem. And that's why there's an emphasis on being ma'oid ma'oid, be very, very humble, because you're literally nothing in relation to Hashem. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir is adding that ve'vishfal ruach, you should be humble b'fnei kol odom, in relation to other people. One could have said, after seeing the Mishnah of Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne earlier on, okay, so you're right, compared to Hashem I'm a nothing, but I'm talking about compared to other people. I think I'm amazing compared to other people, I'm way above most people. So to combat such a thought process, Rabbi Meir says, no, one needs to be humble towards other people as well, and realize that every other person has something to offer which you don't, and that one cannot act arrogantly towards any other person at all. And even if you grow in Torah and you think that you're doing far greater than the other person, you must know that every person's situation is totally different. Hashem expects different things from different people. And nobody has any right to judge themselves as being on a higher level or fulfilling their job in this world more than another person. Alright, continues Rabbi Meir with the third teaching, Vim Bitaltum in a Torah. If you waste your time instead of learning Torah, be it because you're involved in supporting yourself and gathering more wealth for yourself, or for different reasons, if you waste time unnecessarily instead of learning Torah, yesh loch b'teilim harbe k'negdach, you will have a lot of reasons for you to waste time instead of learning Torah. And the meaning of this is twofold. Firstly, as a consequence of you not valuing the time properly, Hashem will give you all sorts of life situations which will cause you to end up having to waste a lot of time and spend time on less important things, as a sort of punishment or consequence. And we can add, we learned a little bit towards the beginning of this parak, the idea of valuing and respecting everything which is in this world, and that the way that the world is set up is that one is only really able to gain from other things if he values them. We cited the example of David HaMelech, whose clothes didn't warm him up towards the end of his life, as a result of him disrespecting the clothes and not valuing them, and as a result of that, their function and their purpose no longer was a benefit, David HaMelech could no longer utilize their function. From what Rav Meir is saying, we can apply this even to the concept of time. If one doesn't value time and he constantly wastes time, then time will not allow him to utilize it properly. And this is a crazy idea. Everybody knows that if you want something done, you want to get something done, who do you turn to? In general, you're going to turn to the most busy people, is that not right? The people you turn to when you want to get a particularly big job done, want to change something in the community, whatever it may be, the person you're going to turn to is often one of the most busiest people you know. So why on earth are you turning to him? Turn to somebody who has less time. Excuse me, who has more time on their hands. And the answer is quite obvious, because the busiest people somehow manage to get things done. And the deeper understanding is exactly what Rav Meir over here is telling us, and it's based on the idea which we discussed regarding David HaMelech's clothes. There's a certain reality which Hashem placed in the world that if somebody values something and he uses it properly, which is essentially the best way of valuing it, then it will be of great value for him. That if somebody wastes time, then the Mishnah is saying that there'll be many other causes of him having to waste time. Somehow time will pass by so quickly and he won't feel like he's achieved much. Because when he does have time on his hands, he doesn't use it properly. Everybody asks, how can the Gedolei Hador know so much Torah? I'm sitting there for hours on end learning a little piece of Gemara. I don't seem to be getting anywhere, and these Gedolei Hador, they get so far, they know Kol HaTorah Kula. How on earth do they get to that level of knowledge? And the answer is, maybe it's not natural. But based on how much they value the concept of time and using time correctly and efficiently, time itself respects them and gives them greater value for their money, as it were, and they are able to learn more in a smaller amount of time. This is really an unbelievable idea. Anyway, ends off the Mishnah of Imamalta Batayra. If you do toil in Torah, Yesh Leisocha Arbeditin Lach, Hashem has a lot of reward to give you, and the reward for learning Torah to one's great ability is going to be even bigger than the punishment for not learning Torah. And the Mishnah's implication is also that Hashem himself will deliver the reward to you. It will be specifically in Olam Haba, but be as it may, the reward is huge. And Rav Meir is imploring us not to waste our time and to miss out on this huge reward and huge benefit both in this world and in the next world for learning Torah. Mishnah Yud Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Ha'isa mitzvah achas, one who performs one mitzvah, koina loy praklet echod, he acquires for himself one defender, one defending angel, who will protect him and present his good deeds in front of Hashem. But on the other hand, Va'idha vera achas, one who transgresses one avera, koina loy kategor echod, he also acquires for himself one accuser, one prosecuting angel, who will present in front of Hashem this person's bad deeds. Many of us are used to thinking that if somebody does lots and lots of mitzvahs, then every once in a while he also does some averus. But in general, he's considered to be a tzaddik, so the mitzvahs cancel out the averus. Or if somebody is the opposite, he lives a life full of averus, and he happens to do a few mitzvahs on the side, so the averus will cancel out the mitzvahs. We look at what the person is in general. Is he somebody who pursues the Torah in general? Or is his general pursuits for other material things? But this Mishnah is telling us that for every single mitzvah that one does, he receives merit, and that will be presented before Hashem. And for every single avera which he does, that will also be presented before Hashem, and he'll be punished for it. There's no such thing as one mitzvah cancelling out an avera. Or the opposite, an avera cancelling out a mitzvah. For every mitzvah that one does, he will be rewarded. For every single avera that one does, he will be punished. Now that having been said, the mission now adds to Shuvo Maisim Toivim, doing repentance, coming closer to Hashem, and doing good deeds, Kitris B'fnei HaPoronos, is like a shield from in front from punishment. It's a way of protecting oneself from being punished for his averas. Now that doesn't mean that he's cancelling out the avera. Rather, like the example given regarding David HaMelech, that David HaMelech said that he sinned by looking at something which he shouldn't have looked at, and he fixed that sin by crying out to Hashem. Those same eyes which did the avera was the same thing that he used to get closer to Hashem. And he was also crying about having done that avera. So the Mishnah is not saying that there's an idea of one mitzvah cancelling out another avera. The only way that one can avoid punishment for an avera is by doing tshuva, or by doing something using the same part of his body which did that avera, using that part of the body to fix it. So to cry out to Hashem, for example, that would fix averas to do with seeing things. And this fits perfectly with the moshel, the parable which is given in this Mishnah. The Mishnah compares it to a shield from punishment. A shield is not something which protects one's entire body. If one is holding the shield on the right side of his body, his left side isn't protected. If he's holding the shield above his head, so only his head is going to be protected. Only wherever he places the shield is that going to protect him. And so too, by doing a mitzvah with that part of the body specifically in order to fix the avera, that is going to protect him from punishment for that particular avera. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar. Omer Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar says, HaSandlar means that he was a shoemaker. Kol Knesa Shilashem Shomayim, any gathering of people which is for the sake of Hashem, there are the intentions behind that gathering is in order to increase the honor of Hashem. Seifol Eskayim, it will end up standing and being established, and a good result will come out of that. V'she'ein L'shem Shomayim, but if the gathering is not L'shem Shomayim, it's not for the sake of Hashem, there are other interests involved, in Seifol Eskayim, that gathering will not end up standing, it won't end up remaining, and good results will not emerge from such a gathering.